If we were to designate the role of Satan, he would have been the first spin doctor. For who could package turning stone to bread, apparently being able to see the whole world, or throwing yourself off a pinnacle as something that someone would actually accept? But in actual fact, and surprisingly, that's what he does. On a daily basis, he tempts us to sin. And on a daily basis, ironically, he succeeds. You would think that we would understand and learn the message and the lesson from the first, second, or even thousandth time. But we keep falling into the same temptations, and we keep accepting them. You see, it is only Satan who can appeal to all of our weaknesses, whether it's our physical, carnal weaknesses, symbolized in taking stone and coveting it, and even having an appetite for it, visualizing that one day it might be bread. Or being able to take us a place where he actually convinces us that we can see the whole world and all its riches. What perspective could that possibly be, except the perspective of God himself? Or take our faith, raise us up to the pinnacle of a temple, and tell us to use that faith to test God. One of the most striking passages in this gospel leads us to an understanding of what God wants of us. Our Lord turns to him and he says that we shall not worship anyone but God, and only him shall we serve. It's a strong statement. Only him shall we serve. On a daily basis, how many gods do we serve? They may not be inanimate objects, but they might be ways of life, tendencies, aspirations. None of these in and of themselves are bad. Why else would you be here today? At one of the most important and the oldest teaching institutions in these lands. You're here to learn. And you're not just here to learn for the sake of learning, you are here to learn and to take that and make use of it and change the world. Even if it's only step by step. But that's why you're here. Those aspirations are important. No, actually, they are essential. What else invigorates you to getting up on a Monday morning after what is probably not so sedate a weekend and go to that class that you really, really don't see the purpose of at 8 a.m.? Not that anyone here would ever think that, of course. I'm looking at the teaching staff in particular. What drives you? I have the greatest respect for you. I could not possibly go back to academic studies. Not because I wouldn't want to, but I just don't think I'm gifted enough. Nor am I driven enough. But you are gifted and you are driven and you are called. You know, God calls us. God calls us all. We all have a purpose. And I wish people who are critics of the young could be here today and see examples of those who are driven, those who have aspirations, those who want to give of themselves. Because the vision we have of young people now is that they are selfish, self-interested, lazy, and they are really just a cause of trouble. But that is not the case. And the Gospels tell us that. Our Lord, in his ministry, took young people around him, mentored them, taught them. But the one lesson they received is, only him shall you serve. This is the message of our lives today. I know that there are many comparisons that are always made. Are young people, is the whole community, better off 200 years ago, 500 years ago, or now? When was the greatest temptation? When was the most difficult struggle? Well, I know that there are some things we don't face today, but what we do face is a culture of instantaneous gratification. A culture that tells us that we can have whatever we want. And sometimes not because we can work hardest for it, but because we have the fastest internet provider. We can press that button quickest. We have the most wide-ranging search engine. Things that are pre-prepared for us, and we are just meant to use. Those are challenges that we need to face. Challenges that lead us to worship that instantaneous gratification, to worship the social media that should be a vehicle to our communication that actually sometimes leads us to the greatest isolation and alienation. At a time when we are connected to millions around the world, we are connected to them while being isolated in our own rooms looking at a screen. At a time when we can communicate with the whole world, we communicate through devices that isolate us from everyone around us. But these are the challenges. Whom do we worship? We must realize that there is nothing wrong with the life we live. In actual fact, God wants us not only to experience life, but to enjoy it. Why else would he create the beautiful nature we have? The nature that we are struggling so much to keep as God has created it. You see, I suppose if it was me and I was in that position thinking, well, humans are going to be created, they'll live a lifespan that is very minimal compared to the eternity they will live with me, why go to all the trouble? Let's just give them grayscales. Let's just do, you know, a pre-packed, flat-packed world where it's just functional. Yet, he gives us this wonderful ray of nature, this spread of nature, this blanket of the skies, the beauty of everything he has given us, because he wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to enjoy one another. He wants us to enjoy these relationships. He wants us to enjoy the world, but not to serve the world, not to worship the world. The way we serve the world is as his world. The world is in so much need at the moment. There are so many people in need of our support. We look at what's happening in the Middle East. We look with a hard heart sometimes at people we are deciding are either refugees or immigrants. Well, does it really matter when people are vulnerable and on what they themselves call death boats? Surely our humanity seeks to serve immediate needs. And then we can get into the rhetoric. Because if God used that same reasoning with us, who of us would be saved? Are we really pilgrims on this earth, traveling to his kingdom? Or are we opportunists looking at the merciful nature of God who can give us a nicer place to live in eternity? Yet in his mercy, he looks at us, looks at our hearts. You see, when we start to worship God, our eyes are opened to him. Our eyes see everything through his perspective. Our eyes move our hearts to deal as his heart would. And our view of the world changes. Yes, we've become cynics. And sometimes it's important to be shrewd in a judgment, but not cynical to the extent that everyone is guilty till proven innocent. The world gives us so much as part of God's plan, but we need to dedicate ourselves to serving him. Serving him in serving one another. Serving him in providing. And sometimes the least of all needs to be provided for are the financial ones. Those who are in need of our time, our attention, our compassion. Those who are in need of our love, a listening ear, a compassionate heart, a patient countenance. The things that have become so rare in this world, so rare that they are much needed. So we must serve him in serving others. And we have so many wonderful examples of our saints. Those who have preceded us. Those who have been so generous. For God in himself was most generous, leaving his kingdom, leaving the majesty of that kingdom, taking on our flesh, living in our world to experience our lives, to make those lives better, and in the words of Saint Athanasius, to take what is ours and give us of what is his in that glory and in the world that is to come. When we worship him, we are focused. When we worship him, we are able to discern. I always say to people that if you put your hand in front of your face, you can only focus either on your hand or on what's further. You can't focus on both. One will be blurry. When God is there and we're focused on him, we still see the world, but we see it through him. When we focus just on what Satan can give us, in the temptations of the world, not in the beauty of the world as created by God, but in the temptations of the world, then our picture of God becomes skewed. And we start to look at him as this cruel, harsh, demanding master, which of course we know he is not. Why would he create us knowing that we are going to cause him so much trouble? We are a liability, yet he creates us out of love because he is still willing to save us and he still wants us to be with him. So as Lent starts for you today, and it starts for us in 5 weeks' time, we remember that our life, our whole life is a Lenten journey. Remembering that Satan will come to try to manipulate us, to spin things, to make them look like he can give us everything, which he cannot, like he can tempt us into situations and save us from them, which he cannot, and that he can provide the answer, which he cannot. But that whole Lenten journey goes to the passions of Christ, but then goes to the wondrous and victorious resurrection that we all anticipate. The victory that people who lack faith will tell us is delusional. But it is the victory that is promised to us. A victory not over anyone, but a victory over the sin that holds us back and transforms us from being the beautiful image and likeness as created by God to those who would desire a stone, who would think they see the whole world, and who could even tempt God by devaluing their lives. And glory be to God forever.